is Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio with Bobby Norris.
Good evening, guys. It is Access All Areas. We are live on FUBAR Radio, and I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collin.
And, guys, we have got a jam-packed show for you this evening. We are joined by Bushra from The Apprentice fame, and she's now currently doing Go Back to Where You Came From, which is like a docu-series slash reality show on Channel 4. And then we're going to be speaking to Miss Bag of Chips from RuPaul. But first, Elle, just quickly, how are you, girl?
I'm great. How are you?
Really good. Thank you. Really good.
In at any point.
I'm waiting for spring.
Stop. I'm feeling it this week.
I'm over the winter.
Yeah, I've started booking holidays now. I just need to even look at pictures of sun makes me feel better.
I know. It feels like that meme of Titanic. It's been winter for 64 years.
Yeah.
Bring on the sun. But we move. Now, guys that tune in regular, you know, we always start Access All Areas with a little bit of showbiz news. And back in the studio, we've got the lovely Miss Ava joining us. And she's going to spill some tea on this week's celeb gossip. How are you, Ava?
Hi, great, thanks. So great to be back with you guys.
Thank you for coming back in. We loved you last time.
That's great. So I guess sort of kicking off really, one of the biggest stories this week are reports that Molly Mae Hague's family are horrified that she's rekindling her relationship, supposedly, with Tommy Fury. So the boxer previously denied claims a breakup was a publicity stunt, and Molly Mae has hit back at reports her family are concerned that they're rekindling things, just saying really that others' opinions are not her concern. Reports after these like reports of Fury being unfaithful had circulated, both insisted that there was no way back when the news broke in August last year.
Oh, they both said that. It's good. When I saw them kissing at that New Year's video of them, and I was like, yes, Queens. Like, I know he's probably done some bad shit, and he deserves
allegedly,
and he deserves to be kicked out. Well, I suppose she touched on it in her Amazon series. Yeah. It was his drinking.
And a girl has come out, whether she's again allegedly, but I've seen clips on social media of a girl on a podcast, which she's kind of become a bit of a meme in herself, saying,
"Oh,
that
the OnlyFans girl,
exactly."
Saying that, she.
Well, we don't know how true any of that
is. Yeah, so like, it's all alleged.
But the thing is, what Molly was saying was his drinking, and that's why she kicked him out. And she said she did say at the very back of her Netflix or her Amazon series, the last episode, she said that she hopes that they will get back together. I think she kicked him out and done the big post and everything to frighten him, right? To like frighten him into acting and getting help for his alcohol. So if her family are like, we're terrified that they're going to get back together, I don't know. I feel like it could be a good thing if they get back together, but only if he does what he's told and, you know, cuts out the drinking.
So, I mean, far from me to call this girl a liar and everything's all alleged at the top of the show when it's showbiz news. But do you think there's people that have jumped on a bandwagon where people have put two and two together and got 16? And actually, because they've both come out, I think Tommy spoke about it and said it was due to alcohol while they broke up.
Yeah.
Molly said the same.
Yep.
So do you think these girls are running around saying they've done this or they've allegedly done that, or just talking bullshit lies?
It does feel like a big publicity stunt to me.
I think it's rage based. So
do you think they're just jumping on this bandwagon thinking, they're going to... Yeah.
The girl in question is known for rage bait. She does really questionable things.
For anyone listening out there, what might rage bait be?
Oh, God, great. You're going to make me say what she did. There's one clip of her... taking off her underwear in front of her sleeping father and throwing them at her father while he's asleep on the couch and she's just walking around with her ninny out. So I'm going to leave it there. That seems very rage baity. There's other clips similar to that. Something to do with a dildo on her father while he's asleep, puts it on his head.
Her father?
Her dad. This is the content that this girl comes with. So I'd take it with a grain of salt with, you know, what she's claiming.
I mean, I would say some people would do anything for the clout, but I don't even know if you can call it that.
No, because she has become a meme in herself. Have you seen that? I'm not sure if it's like... And again, it's not for us to sit here and talk about people's appearances.
Not appearances.
But people are kind of like, there's, I'm not sure if it's a filter or an app they're using, and they're kind of quoting what she says in this podcast.
Yeah.
But I think if both people in the couple, which are the only two that really knows what goes on behind closed doors, if they're both saying something completely different, For me, like, why would they lie? So yeah. I kind of find it strange for then someone to run about. It does seem like...
It is. Do you know what? The cheating thing, I actually don't even think happened now because we'd have photos. Yeah. Son would pay anything for those photos and anybody would be willing to sell them.
Especially if it was supposedly all these girls, you know.
Yeah.
Someone, there would be at least one photo out.
If they're both happy
they're the most photographed couple in the world.
To open up about, like, his alcoholism... Mm. I think it would probably have been easier for him to go, I've shagged a couple of birds.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
To be honest.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
Because to be honest, Tommy, he's a salt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not his type, so... But he is a salt.
Yeah, and that's a title as old as time in cheating. So,
and who judges a sportsman? It's just a Friday night.
Yeah, although Molly's fans will never forgive him. Whereas I do think they would forgive him if he seeked help for his alcohol problems and then came back stronger. I envision, you know, a docu-series about his recovery journey, a book on his recovery journey.
Yeah.
He could rebrand.
A show,
Like, this could be part of their new empire.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and they have a kid together and people love that.
If
you could put it together for his family, that just looks great, doesn't it?
I don't have kids, obviously, spoiler. But I do think if you've got a kid, I can see there is that attraction to get back more than... Because we've all got shit exes that are just shit exes.
Yeah.
And you kind of... The beauty of not being, like, married or having kids is that you can just kind of move on. You crack on with your life. Mm. If there's a kid involved, I can see, and you still care for them, there is a reason to try again.
And you're stuck together anyway until she's 18 and even beyond that. Like, you have to be over at the house picking her up and dropping her off. So they have to be friends at least. So they may as well just give it another go if he's willing to do the work.
More on that story over the coming weeks and months. What else, Miss Ava's, caught your eye?
So I think another... A bit of a shock for me was Taylor Swift being booed at the Super Bowl. Obviously on Sunday she was booed on the big screen when she came up. But thankfully a lot of the music icons, celeb pals, were quick to sort of jump and defend her. Serena Williams, tennis ace, took straight to X saying, don't listen to the boos. Another one which I think stood out for me that I saw on social media was grown men booing, seriously get a grip. It's kind of true because obviously a lot of people are questioning whether it's something to do with her relationship with Travis.
Yeah. Like maybe it was the opposition's team because who does he play with? The Philadelphia somethings? I don't know. I don't follow.
Is it not that people think that there's allegedly maybe a connection with the Blake situation?
It could be. I've no clue. I actually didn't think of that. I presumed it was because they were at a football game.
Showbiz.
Yeah.
I'm not sports. I thought it was allegedly because of
the Blake stuff.
But it regardless, I think there is something.
Although it probably isn't because it's mostly men in that. Although I don't know.
I honestly don't think it is a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Even in the UK, it's hitting the press. I mean, you're writing it. You're the journo.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Over in the States, it's a huge thing.
It really is.
I also just don't think I don't think it matters why the fact it happened is bad enough.
Yeah.
And the fact that when, you know, her boyfriend was attending her concerts, like, received, like, amazing sort of presents from her fans. And then, you know, when she's there in the Super Bowl, gets the absolute opposite. I mean, he's a grown man.
Yeah.
Ultimately, why are you booing a successful woman?
That's the difference between straight men and women. Like, they lifted him up at her concerts.
Yeah.
Every time he was shown on that jumbo screen, he got cheers. Like, he got everything. And then she gets the complete opposite. It's like...
And I just think, for me, there is something really medieval about booing a person.
Yeah.
She sings, she sings songs very well and she's earned a couple of coins. The girl's doing all right.
Yeah.
But let's just strip it down. She gets out on the stage. She's done a global tour. Mm-hmm. She sings a couple of songs. She wears a lovely little outfit. And for someone to boot, I mean, she ain't done anything horrendous.
No, literally. Sure, Donald Trump got cheers.
For me, it's just a weird thing, like, where we're booing people. It's like back in the day where you're in the stocks
Gladiators.
And you get, and it's a bit like, come on, she just runs around and sings a bit of a song.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is, that day I was watching Loose Women and, do you know, what's his name, Robbie Williams' wife?
Ava.
She's American and she said she wouldn't read too much into it because she said that football is a bit like Panto, like that, when the opposition, somebody from the opposition's family goes on the Jumbotron, the fans will cheer and cheer and boo depending on what side of the fence they're sitting for the game. So she said it's a bit of fun, and I don't think Taylor would have taken it to heart like that, but she looked confused, didn't she?
She did look a bit taken aback. I mean, there's sort of questions, you could see her sort of mouthing something to her friend. It could have been what's going on, I don't know, but she did look taken aback, and you would be taken aback because I don't know, I'd like to think you just wouldn't expect that.
Maybe it is the sport thing, because I automatically just thought, just because I'd gone down a bit of a rabbit hole with the whole situation going on in the States with Blake and that.
How do you keep up? I'm trying my hardest, but I have a full time job.
I can barely keep up with the Kardashians, you know what I mean? And this is a whole thing that I think is just going to keep on keeping for the next months, possibly year, however long, if this goes to court, who knows? But we'll certainly be sat here on a Wednesday evening talking about it, because that's our job.
Yes.
But I just assumed it was because that, but there was no, again, there's never no definite proof that she's mates with someone, or there was a, I mean, it is just, it's a crazy old spider web.
Well, the cherry on the cake was the fact that Donald Trump shared it, so the meme was going around of him getting cheers and Taylor getting booze.
They don't like him, do they?
Well, he said something about Taylor before, didn't he? Trump. I forget what it was.
Well, I mean, she endorsed Kamala Harris, didn't she? So he's not going to be her biggest fan, regardless of if he likes her music or not.
That's a kick in the bollocks. Ain't it?
So, exactly.
Yeah, he ain't probably sending invites to the White House.
No.
Thank you, Miss Ava. Always an absolute pleasure. I love a little bit of showbiz news to start at the top of the show. Guys, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to be joined by Miss Bushra, and we're going to be talking all things Apprentice and Go Back to Where You Come From on Channel 4 currently now. So we'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Foobar Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Foobar Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to Foobar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind, and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Registering to vote means you can take part in the way decisions are made in the UK. When you register to vote, you are then able to cast your vote at local and national elections. You can help choose who runs your area and makes decisions about things you care about. Millions of people in the UK aren't registered to vote, and they miss out on having their voice heard. It's quick and easy to register. It only takes 5 minutes. You can do it online, or you can ask for a paper form at your local council. Register to vote now at gov.uk/register to vote.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Mr. Later Williams, hello. Mate, can we just address that you did Strictly Come Dancing?
I know, people were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. It won't be the last. I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. So when it actually got 2 hours out, whoa, like there's so many different styles. I was like, oh, and Nikita, I love him, but he was really pushing me to be the best that I could be.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be,
prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access all areas.
Welcome back to Access All Areas, guys. I'm Bobby Norris, and we've just been joined in the studio by Bushra. How are you doing, hun?
I'm good. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
No, you're so welcome. Thank you for coming into the studio. It's always nice when it's studio rather than Zoom. We do love a Zoom.
Yeah.
But I do like studio.
Face to face is better, I always think. 100%.
Yeah.
Best way.
Absolutely. So busy. Currently doing Channel 4. You've obviously started off on The Apprentice, yeah, which we're going to talk about,
yeah,
and now doing the Channel 4 Go Back to Where You Came From show.
That's right.
How is that?
I mean, I'm going to start by saying it's wild. Obviously, filmed before. Now, the show's actually available to stream on Channel 4 online. I've just been told today.
So can you do the whole lot?
You can do the whole lot.
Oh, I love a binge.
I know. And I think people are like watching, like binge watching these days. And so now that is available. But it's one of the most, I think, controversial conversations, isn't it? It's about immigration. It's about refugees and asylum seekers and their journeys. And, you know, so it has been a roller coaster of emotions. It's been totally crazy.
And the show has received a lot of backlash online as well. How are you finding that? Because a lot of it is falling on you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that Channel 4 really wanted to do was to platform people that had opinionated places. I think it's important to be able to have those conversations.
Yeah.
Especially absolutely. When you get a group of people that feel disenfranchised, where they're like not being heard.
Yeah.
And part of being heard is going to be controversial things. And listen, I've had a witch hunt against me. People have said that I'm anti-Semitic, that I don't like Jewish people. I've had that. And, you know, I just want to clarify that's not the case. And I knew something like that was going to happen with me. But I am an opinionated person and I've got these opinions, as do the other cast members as well.
Yeah. You know what I say about opinions and our souls, everyone has one.
Yes.
And I think in a world of free speech, everyone's entitled to an opinion.
Yeah, true. And you don't always have to agree on opinions.
No.
I think it's good to have debates about these
things. It's absolutely
things.
Good to debate them, though.
For sure. And you often speak out on your Instagram as well about racism and discrimination. Do you see LGBT plus Q rights part of that fight for equality?
Oh, absolutely. I think when it comes to any ethnic minority group, we've got to tackle hate. You may not like something, but that doesn't mean that it's okay for a group of people to be hated on because you may not agree with them. And I think my fight against racism, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, the LGBT community, if anybody was to stand up and say something which was hateful and violent towards them, I'd be the first person to speak out.
Right. Okay, because there was a few resurfaced tweets. Since you've been on the show, people have spotted your tweets and there's... they sound homophobic, I'm not going to lie. There was one from as early as 2023.
Yeah.
And you say that it's inhumane to be gay and you likened it to paedophiles. Do you still feel strongly about that, or has your views changed?
Well, I'll clarify something. I've never said it's inhumane. It's just because I'm a Muslim that we don't accept that. We believe it's a sin. And when I was asked a question, I was like, I have to be honest about that. But does that mean that it's okay to hate people who are gay or from that community? No, it means you still have to let people live their lives. You don't have to agree with how they lived. You don't have to agree with that particular person, you know, their sexuality. I don't have to tell somebody that, you know, this is what my sexuality is. So I never ever called them inhumane. I don't know where that's come from.
I think there's probably more gay people upset with the paedophile part than the inhumane.
Totally.
Because I mean, I'm gay. Hi. I'm not sure if you know. Spoiler. And for that to be put in the same sentence, to compare gay people with paedophiles.
Yeah.
You must know how disgusting and disturbing that is as a sentence to say.
Also, now that we're having that conversation, I realised very quickly how that particular tweet was misconstrued. And as soon as I saw that is how it was being misconstrued, because I wouldn't compare paedophilia to being gay. They're two completely different things. One is criminal. One is punishable. Yeah. One you can go to prison with. So as soon as I realised that this could be misinterpreted, I took that tweet away straight away. I think the only issue is when we put things out there, we can make mistakes. And I'm also one of those people. So as soon as something like that happened, and it's hard because once some information goes out there, it's very difficult to then find platforms where you can really explain yourself in detail. But I was fortunate enough at one point to go on several platforms like Talk TV to explain that part of it. But yeah, in no way or shape or form was I comparing paedophilia to being gay, because paedophilia is a criminal act.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's because, you know, especially if you're for migration and refugees, it's just the juxtaposition of it, because a lot of those refugees are fleeing their countries out of fear of prosecution for their sexuality.
Yeah,
so
that's
it
right.
actually goes hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. If you know, we've got plenty of like Muslim people who are outwardly gay, and they are gay, but they can also still be Muslim and still be gay because that's who they are. Mm-hmm. And if they're fleeing persecution and they're seeking asylum in countries, they should also be allowed to do that.
Because I mean, what interests me is, because I know it's been researched and you stand by your opinion. And again, I'm all for a debate. And that's what's lovely about these forums. I think it's good for people to express themselves, but it's also good for people to be told from people from certain communities how offensive things can be.
Yeah.
But I'm intrigued on your views, that because you quite publicly said that you think being gay is a choice.
Yeah.
I can tell you as a gay man, and I'm a very proud gay man, that life would be easier as a straight person.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know how many gay men have told you that they just choose to do that for shits and giggles.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever come across anybody that said to me that it is a choice for them. And they've all said to me it's something that they can't control. Mm-hmm. And I completely understand that that's their position. And you're sat here telling me the same thing. Mm-hmm. You see, because I'm a person of faith and I come from a devout Muslim family, we also believe that some of the challenges that we're presented in life is our sexuality. Mm-hmm. And you said yourself it would be easier for you not to be gay because of the challenges and perhaps discrimination that you faced, right?
Yeah, I've been physically attacked twice in the last couple of years, daily, homophobic abuse. It would be an easier life for me to have a lovely wife at home, a couple of kids, not be persecuted day in, day out, not to have my veneers knocked out of my head because I'm just a man who so happens to be attracted to other men. So in terms of, and again, I don't want anyone to think that I'm not proud of being gay, because I absolutely am. But I can tell you that I never just woke up one day and said it's a choice. And I know you've said that no one's born gay. I would argue, and again, I'm not like Einstein, if that's the right person to compare myself to. But I would say that we are born gay, the same as people are born straight. Because again, it goes back to being a choice. From a child, from the first fairy tale you read, the first Disney film or whatever cartoons are available, you never see two guys or two princes or two princesses. Mm. You're aware from a very young age that you're different, because we live in a straight world, and that's why we're here. Do you know what I mean? It's procreation, and thankfully the world's moved forward where we can marry people who we're in love with and start families. But in terms of thinking that we would just wake up one day for the banter and say let's be gay, like, I'm yet to find a gay person that's doing that.
I think again it boils down to your belief system and what you believe. And especially when we think about gay people, there are millions and millions of them across the world. They're also within the Muslim community, within the Christian community, you know, and etc. But because we fundamentally believe it's a sin, and the idea for us is not to commit sin, that's what it is. And I think that's the position where I come from. It's a challenge. It's like any other challenge in life. And I just want to also clarify, if people don't understand this, but if, like, being gay does not mean, like, I feel awful that you've received violent attacks and you've been beaten up by people because you're gay. Like, in any,
it's mostly these acts happened to gay men because of religion. This, it's mostly because of religious views that people attack people like Bobby.
Well, I think it's ignorance as well, isn't it? It's like, you may not have to agree with something, but that doesn't mean that has to result in violence. It's actually a very, very low intelligence where people turn to violence. Like, you and I can sit here, and I used to, you know, I've got several friends who are gay, and we we can have those conversations. So I think it's an ignorant part of people who are not educated enough, who think it's okay, you know. And I would always stand in your defense if that's happened to you. I categorically denounce that.
But this is why language is so important. And I know you're very active on social, as am I. And I think you've got 90 plus thousand followers on X, formerly known as Twitter. And what might be throwing away comments here and there and just tweets here and there, but when you do, just for example, put into a tweet that there's a comparison between gay men and paedophilia, you can see how you, like, you roll these people up that are nutters out there that think it is okay in the middle of broad daylight to kick seven bells out of a man just for being gay. When they see someone kind of clarifying that or kind of shining a light and justifying, they think it's fine for me to go and kick the shit out of someone. I'm not blaming you personally in your tweet. But I think we do have to be aware, with the power of social media, that language is so important. And to ever sum up the words, I find that really uneasy to deal with. Gay men being put in a sentence and a comparison as paedophilia, because there is absolutely no comparison there whatsoever. And I think most people sat at home listening would know that. But there are people out there that look at social media. As we know, there's figures out there that people adore, that they flock to. Do you know what I mean? And get given the messiah treatment. And when they think that someone is glorifying their views, it kind of gives them carte blanche to go, I'm going to go and do that.
And you probably know that as well through your charity, Run Racism Out, because it's completely the same thing with immigration. It's the language around it that riles people up, and it becomes a you versus them and a hate thing. And that's exactly what's happening with homophobia. So actually, they're very similar.
Oh, totally. I think this is a really good conversation. It's about talking about people that believe in free speech absolutism. And I'm actually not one of those people, because I believe there is a line. I think there is free speech and then there's hate speech.
Absolutely.
And you're totally right. And as our platforms and our influence grows, we do have a responsibility to make sure that the things that we say, we've got to think about them. You know, and I've been one of those individuals, and my platform has grown. I've got 90,000 followers today on X, which I didn't have before. So, you know, I think it's definitely learning curve, not only for myself, but people in general. We've got to be really careful about the way we say things. And if we have said something that is out of line or is going to be misconstrued, we also have a responsibility to rectify that and then put the same information out there, which is correct. But the problem is with social media is sometimes a tweet can go viral and you'll get a million people view it, and then you'll put the correction out there and it won't even get
it's too late the correction no one gives a toss about the correction once something's gone out.
Did you remove that tweet
went
viral?
Oh, absolutely. And then I did get an opportunity on Talk TV to go and clarify my position.
And how did that go?
I mean, look, there's going to be people out there who are, you know, they're either going to be for you or against you. You've probably experience like that, and there's reasons why they're not going to like you, even if you correct yourself and you say say the right things. I think what's important though is that we do need to establish the boundaries of free speech and hate speech. And there are a group of people that think that hate speech is okay, and it's not, because it's the level of hate speech that entices people towards violence, and that's towards any ethnic minority, which includes the LGBT community.
I'm intrigued again, like, just in terms of moving on from the paedophilia side of your tweet, but the being gay is a choice. Obviously, you're very aware, you're an intelligent woman, you know, there's parts of the world where gay men are taken to the top of a building and just kicked off, and because of their sexuality. Do you think these men are getting taken up 15 flights of an apartment or a car park, knowing they're going to get kicked to their death or stoned by the community? Are they just doing that for banter? They just think, fuck it, that'll be a laugh.
I mean, in any kind of civilized society, throwing anybody off buildings is atrocious, and it's unbelievable. And you know, I don't know how much of that actually happens. That's usually
it happens,
you know, and usually that is used as quite an Islamophobic trope. I am going to say that it's not something that is common within, let's say, the Muslim world or any religious world anymore. It's a horrifying, barbaric act that shouldn't be carried out in any place.
Agreed.
Again, it's the It's the uneducation, it's the bigotry, it's the resenting hatefulness in people that drives them to do that. And but just to clarify again, Islam does not promote that. That is not something that anyone, and even Islamically, are they allowed to kill people off buildings because of their sexuality. They are very, very stern. I mean, if you look at Saudi Arabia, if you look at the UAE, there are people there who are gay, and that does not happen to them.
So moving on from that, let's go to all things TV and showbiz. You started out 2017 Apprentice.
Yes.
It's now back on our screen. How are you? Are you watching the current series?
I've watched a little bit of it. I mean, mine was 2017, so it's a very, very long time ago. But yeah, I mean, it's a brilliant show, and it's entertaining as hell, and everybody loves it. Yeah. But I've not really been watching all of it this time around. I just feel like, for me, it's like part of my history now.
Yeah.
Do you think that the kind of the curtain gets lifted a little bit once you've been on a TV show, and you know the behind the scenes and the process? Does it take a little bit of the magic away from being a fan or a punter, so to speak?
That's a really good question, actually, because it's interesting, because as soon as you do a reality stroke entertainment business show like The Apprentice, you do get to see the behind the scenes of of production. And yeah, so it's very different to being a part of it, watching it, because you're like, now I know all the tricks.
Yeah. It's probably harder to watch now.
Yeah, it's so much harder to watch, because literally if I'm watching something, I'm like, that did not happen like that. That happened. Oh, I know what they did. It's almost like you know how it gets put together.
Yeah.
Which show was harder then? That one, The Apprentice, or Go Back to Where You Came From on Channel 4, your new one?
Do you know, I would say that Channel 4, Go Back to Where You Came From, was very hard.
Tell me what you had to do, because I tried to watch it today while I was in work. Sorry, guys, but I only got through half because busy. But they take you to Syria.
Yes, we went to Syria.
And you had to do the route that the refugees would take back to the UK.
Yeah.
How did you find that?
It was the scariest. I mean, for me anyway, the experience was so frightening. It was like anything could. I mean, this was prior to, obviously now in Syria, things are slightly different. They've had regime change and it's a bit different now. But when we were there, it was conflict zone everywhere.
Gosh.
That means you could be bombed at any point. And there was literally one, which you'll see in episode two, where we've had to change our route in our convoy because about a mile away it was bombed. So we were 1 mile away from an airstrike.
Wow. So that take what goes through your head when you apply for a show like that? You kind of scouted, or you applied online?
So we were all scouted. I believe the figure was about I don't know, about 4,000 applicants, where they approach people to do it,
and you kind of go through rounds. So I guess what goes through your head when you get the call and they go, we want you to come on and be a contestant, do you have that wake-up call where you're packing your little case and you think, actually, I'm going to Syria? It ain't Marbella.
We had no idea where we were going to go.
Oh, you didn't know?
We had no idea. It was day one filming that we were handed an envelope and it told us where we were going.
What was the scariest moment for you in Syria? Because I'd imagine finding out you're going to Syria, you're not packing a swimsuit. But when you got there, what was the scariest moment for you? Was there something that wasn't shown?
Well, I was thinking, how are we going to get there, because some of the airports you can't get into, and there were certain parts in Syria that you can't access. So we actually had to go to Iraq first.
Wow.
Because I guess from Heathrow, there's not a direct EasyJet or BA that goes to Syria.
So it was wild. So we actually had to get to Iraq first in an area called Erbil, and then we drove to the border, and it was a frightening experience because there were thousands of people on this border from Iraq to get into Iraq in Syria.
Wow.
And it was at any point, anything could happen. So it was like, most of the time I was like, oh my God, I just really want to get back home to my kids. Like, I hope I just get back home to them.
Yeah.
Because it's one thing people go, oh, it's a TV show, but things like that are irrelevant. If something's going to happen to you in a place, it don't matter if there's a lovely cameraman or camerawoman there or sound and lighting. Like, if something bad's going to happen, they don't give a shit if there's a camera there or not.
Oh, totally. Like, there were little things, like if they wanted to use, use their camera. So, you know, you've got the drones that can film stuff. You would have to literally get, that would have to be passed and sanctioned by the council or whatever it was in Syria, because people would assume that is a bomb. So if you're trying to use a camera, they would think it was an airstrike.
Oh,
so there were so many bits of red tape that had to be passed.
Yeah.
But I think one of the most frightening experiences was learning about its history and going through what ISIS left behind.
Gosh, yeah.
It was awful. And just speaking to those families, because I think one of the things that stood out for me the most was we got to a part in Syria and there were literally no buildings left, but there were people living in them.
Wow.
Like they had no
rubble. What an eye
in the rubble. They were literally in the rubble.
I'm going to literally go home and binge that.
Yeah,
and I think Channel 4 make an amazing documentary and series. I love a little bit of Channel 4. Yeah. That's kind of, it's took over my Netflix watch.
It'll be eye opening for sure. Like, yeah. I'm looking forward to getting
started. I didn't know it was all uploaded now. I still call it 4OD. Shame for the app. Thank you so much for coming in. It was a pleasure to speak with you. Where can everyone tune in and check out if they're not going to binge it? It's every week. What day does it air?
It's Mondays at 9 o'clock on Channel 4 if they don't want to binge watch, but you can go online now and watch it.
Binge.
Yes, please do.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Bobby and Ellen.
Thank you.
Amazing. Guys, we're going to take a little break and then we're going to be joined by Miss Bag of Chips. We'll see you in two.
Access All Areas continues next. Foobar Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on Foobar Radio.
I am joined now by Ricardo Mighty. He is the CEO of Mighty Labs.
I just think if you're going to get into crypto, you just can't think short term. If you're trying to, I don't know, like pay your bills next month and you think I'm going to invest in crypto this month and then I'm going to take the gains out and do something with, you just can't think like that, because 99.9% of the time, the market doesn't work the way you want it to work. It works how it's going to work. The longer you have your investment in crypto, most likely the better it will do.
You're listening to Foobar Radio.
Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all Foobar shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for Foobar Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores.
Yay! The Foobar Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
Is the sound of your mates alive? Is getting to more gigs this year and the next? Is the sound of saying, I got you, mate? Is the sound of mates enjoying even more of this? Is the sound of mates getting home instead of here? Click your seatbelt, because you're twice as likely to be killed or seriously injured if you don't think.
When you notice something wrong, it tends to grow and eventually take over, to the point you can't really think of anything else. If something in your body doesn't feel right, the thought it could be cancer can play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Finding out sooner is always better. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
What the hell with Gabby Allen.
Mr. Later Williams, hello. Mate, can we just address that? You did Strictly Come Dancing.
I know, people were quite upset about that, to be fair. But listen, not the first musical theatre performer to be on Strictly. It won't be the last. I've never watched a full season from the start to the end. So when it actually got to it, I was like, whoa, like there's so many different styles. I was like, oh. And Nikita, I love him, but he was really pushing me to be the best that I could be.
Politics Uncensored.
They can't turn off your water because water is a human right. It's not like internet, which we can talk about.
Are you saying we
things.
Should all stop paying?
I'm not saying we should all stop paying. I think no one should have to pay.
Their argument would be prices are going up. We need all this money because we have to invest in our ageing Victoria infrastructure, which hasn't, there's been no new infrastructure built in sewage, whatever, since the Victorian era. How would you respond to that?
They're talking out of their backside. It's bullshit of the highest order.
Foobar Radio presents
What the Health with Gabby Allen.
Joining me now is Millie Gooch, author and founder of Sober Girl Sobriety Society. I need to know what's so bad about dating sober.
I think it's just terrifying when it's something that you're not used to, because when I was drinking and dating, you know, like, you use it to calm your nerves, you use it for confidence, you rely on it. And I think that's the one thing I realised when I stopped drinking, is how much I really relied on alcohol. I was always kind of saying, you know, like, oh, I'm not dependent on it, but for my confidence I was really. But I also think there's so many benefits to it, like I used to go on so many dates when I was drinking, I'd be like, they are the one, and then I'd meet them a few weeks later sober and I'd be like, we've got nothing in common, what was going through my mind, I'd be like, oh, it was because I was drunk.
Yeah. Access all areas with Bobby Norris.
Harpreet, how are you, my love?
I'm great, thank you. How are you? It looks fun in there.
I want to talk about this because obviously you met your partner on The Apprentice. When did you start to get that feeling, I'm into him and this is more than just a banter or a friendship? Because it's a close environment being on a show like that, isn't it?
I really wish I could sit here and give loads of juicy gossip. Actually, we used to secretly meet in the laundry room on the show, but we didn't. And when I actually last spoke with yourselves, I think it was right after I'd won, we weren't even flirting, never mind dating. First time that I thought I actually fancied him was when I watched him on TV and I watched episode one. Hang on. You know, he's actually really good looking.
Politics Uncensored with Ali Milani.
And joining me in the studio, we have Deputy Leader of the Green Party, Zach Polanski. Zach, thank you so much for joining us. How are you keeping, Zach?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
So you're hoping for four MPs in the general. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, that's absolutely the minimum at what we're
I don't want to be Piers Morgan here, but will you take a... I don't have £1,000, but you take a £100 bet with me that you'll get four MPs?
Well, I do everything in politics to talk about the harms of gambling, so for me to place a bet on there would be pretty, you know, pretty horrendous.
Before we had you on, we discussed with the producers as to whether I should do the bet joke, and I said I would because I had every faith that you would answer it in the way I expect a politician of any moral standing.
We should also talk about cryptocurrency, which also is very problematic.
Rishi, if you're listening, mate, that's how you answer a betting question.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio. FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Joining us now, we have Muhammad Ali, author who is currently writing a book about India under Narendra Modi. Mr. Ali, thank you so much for joining us. And so I wondered if you could give us perspective to our listeners, what life is like for an Indian Muslim right now. Are they at risk of violence at any point in their life?
So right now, Muslims have stopped. They're very cautious not to appear as Muslims in day-to-day lives. Like they've stopped wearing skull caps. They've stopped eating meat in public spaces. And what has happened is that every idea and everything associated with Muslims have been illegitimized and have been criminalized in India today.
Every Thursday, FUBAR Radio.
Hey!
FUBAR Radio presents.
All areas.
Mark from Married at First Sight UK.
See, at the wedding, you told Sean you were 26, but you're actually 36.
Oh, yeah.
So drop in that decade. We ain't gone 1 or 2 years either side. What was going for you, Edwin? I'm going to shave off 10 years.
A 26. Third of your life.
Yeah.
It was instant reaction. As soon as anyone says to me, how old are you? I'm like 26. I just stopped counting after 26. Would I have told him? Probably not.
No. Yeah. Ever.
Well, maybe when we're 80 years old and we've got the grandkids running round.
Except like, you wouldn't be 80 years old. You'd be 98.
I'd be 26 still. I'd be going around the corner for some more injections.
Politics Uncensored.
Joining me now, the former leader of the Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, MP. And there you are stood with hundreds of thousands of people at Glastonbury singing, "Oh, Jeremy Corbyn." What is that like?
It was quite extraordinary. It was an amazing experience, and I was very pleased we did it. The office got very excited about Glastonbury. Every single person in the office thought it was necessary for them to be at Glastonbury.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
Every single one said it was really necessary for them to come.
The Dating Show.
I'm friends with a fair few exes, and I think you can be friends with an ex, but I genuinely do. But I do think that it's timing is everything with that.
I think it depends what you cast as a friend.
Yeah,
are you talking about someone you're going to hang out with on your sofa? Like, if you've already shagged, isn't that a bit weird?
I think that's a different level of friend. I think that's a different level of... You can be friends with someone. You can't be, like, best fucking friends with someone. I mean, I've got exes that I talk to about their current partners and whatever else, and they'll tell me about that sort of stuff. But I wouldn't say, oh, do you want to come over for fucking Chinese and chill on the sofa?
You're listening to FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to Access.
Grab your backstage passes and prepare to access All Areas.
Got them passes, guys. Welcome back to Access All Areas. I'm Bobby Norris.
And I'm Ellen Collins.
Hello, El. So we're going to do a little bit of showbiz gossip.
Oh, yes. There's always more showbiz goss to go around.
The Biz Call Show.
Yes, yes. And guess what movie's coming out this Friday?
Oh, what?
Bridget Jones. Oh, just in time for Valentine's
Bridget
Day.
Jones.
I know, and it's meant to be the very last installment of all Bridget as well. So,
is it though?
I know. Like, she actually said in an interview that she hopes it won't be, but she's heard it's the last, but she would be totally up for doing it again.
I bet she would. I'd love it because she gets a nice couple of quid for doing that.
Definitely. And you know what? I can see this is going to be one of those things where they'll say that, take a 10-year break,
yeah,
and then go back when she's like, you know.
Because are they doing it every decade? Because I think it was she was in her 30s originally.
Yeah.
And then I think there was a couple, and one I've not seen, but I was the biggest, I think one
the
and
baby?
Two, the biggest. Yeah, I've not seen the baby.
Yeah, when she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I've seen them all.
And now she's in her 50s.
She's in her 50s now. She's widowed.
That's sad.
So she did marry Mark Darcy. And then he
there
died.
There was something fit about Mark Darcy.
Handsome.
Little bit of a weird one, guys. Mm. Again, all alleged. It's not been confirmed. But you know, there's a rumour mill going around that Mark Darcy is based on Keir Starmer.
Yeah, I did see that. And do you know what? I actually wrote an article about this randomly year ago. Yeah, and I was looking for old photographs of Keir Starmer that was like in the age group that Mark Darcy was.
And
in
was
Bridget
he a bit
Jones.
Of a salt like Colin?
He looks
Colin.
Really like him. Like, really like him. Like, I can see that they've styled him. Also, the writer of Bridget Jones, didn't she go to university with Keir Starmer?
I think so, yeah.
So there's that connection. She probably thought he was fit, watching him from afar, and then said, let's create a character.
I've not seen photos of old Starmer Young.
His long, dark hair, just like Darcy, kind of floppy, very cute, very handsome, mind, very handsome.
Just shit at getting back to people when they're, when they're reaching out to her. But don't worry, Keir. I'm still here.
Yeah, yeah. Our second week talking about Keir Starmer. We're absolute stans.
It's because we've done 1 week of politics, show.
We've got
watch your backs, politics, we're coming. But I could see Bridget coming back. How old are her kids in this one?
Oh, I actually don't know, but they look like 8 or 11.
So she could come back in her 60s in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Because 60s is the new 50s.
Yeah, true.
I mean, we're 30 and we're the new 21.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I think that would be such a good idea. I mean, we'll see what the reception is to this one.
Yeah,
it, like,
true.
I've seen the trailer and it does look real fun. Like, it's not a movie that you'd really see an older woman playing the lead. It's usually the young, yeah, hot starlet, and like.
And I think there's something really lovely about Renee. Yeah. I just have always loved her. Do you know what I mean? Especially when she's playing Bridget.
Yes, I know.
I think
love
maybe because I think I am the gay Bridget Jones.
I know her. There's something really wholesome about her character. I think everybody can see themselves in her.
Yeah.
She's not flawless like every other kind of leading lady.
Says the newly married woman, and there's me going home on my own. So we can all see ourselves. Pity party. Looking at Bobby thinking, yeah, I mean you.
I mean, I've done the tub of Ben and Jerry's
crying
into my cornflakes. I'd have plenty of
so you have had Bridget moments before Mr. Wright come along.
Exactly, exactly. So,
and I think that's what's so relatable about it is that we can all, whether gay, straight, gay, we can all connect and have that, whether it was just a moment in time, or some of us a little bit longer than others, where that is, cause life is hard now, dating's hard.
And I love as well that in the flick she's like dating younger men, or at
good
least
girl.
Younger men are like interested in her. It's kind of role reversal to what we usually see in the media, where the men date the younger women.
Because there's this guy Leo, I saw him funny enough getting on the tube here.
He's handsome, isn't he?
Very, very fit.
Yeah, we both just went really.
It's quiet. A funny one though, because I kind of get when it's together. I think it's very. Yeah, I think it's different in the gay world. Again, it's all relative. But I think, well, for me personally, I've always liked older. But I kind of think because some men take a little bit longer to mature. But I think when you're an independent woman, you maybe don't care. But you don't really see many gay men getting toy boy. But I guess one's always got to be younger than the other, I guess. So that don't really make sense.
There's usually quite an age gap, isn't there, with gay men? Or is that just a sweeping generalisation?
Sometimes there is. one of them ones. Apart from Miss Bridget, has anything else caught your eye? I've only got a couple of minutes left of the show. It's flown by. What a show.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Matt Lucas and David Williams.
Okay.
Their new TV show, Significance, in 2025. And that's coming back after its controversial history. So.
Sorry, it's Little Britain's coming back.
Yes.
But they have, because I'm sure I've seen interviews in the past where they know this. Have they said, or have I just dreamt this, that there's certain characters or things that they're going to have to change now from.
From before? I mean, one thing is,
because we're just living in different times.
Yeah, true. I mean, they're not going to.
Some of the characters, I don't know if you'd get away with in 2025.
No.
I'm saying that there's a lot of fucking weird things going on in 2025.
Yeah, true.
A comedy sketch is probably the least of your worries.
I know, although. I don't know.
Some of them just wouldn't. You've got to read the room. The temperature ain't right.
No, they're going to have to dial it down massively if it comes back, which may it might lose its spark then.
Yeah.
It won't be the same because it was good because it was chaos.
Yeah.
Like they said whatever they want. It was awkward. It was cringeworthy.
Yeah.
Whereas, will it be that? I don't know. Will it be as good? We have to wait to see. Also, Matt Lucas looks very different these days, doesn't he? He was the funny fat one and now he's the funny skinny one.
It's funny how comedy is very much like fashion, just sort of dissecting it all.
Yeah.
It is weird, because how old would we have been when that first came? I think I was at school, so I was just knee high to a grasshopper.
I've no clue when that came out, but so, I do know.
I think early 2000s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So the landscape we've buried, that's fucking 25 years ago. When, where does the time go?
Where does it go? So yeah, that would be an interesting
one. It all swings and roundabouts. So I'm always interested in seeing a good old comedy comeback, a good old sketch show. Because we haven't seen much of David Williams since the whole departure from BGT and the hot mic moment.
Yeah, exactly. He's been writing children's books for the past few years.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
He's doing all right. That's where the money is.
It's like the new Roald Dahl.
I know. I'd say, do you know, that's some cushy job. Like a children's book, there's about 3 pages.
Yeah.
And you get all the money.
Piece of piss.
Yeah, we should write one.
Yeah. Where's my pad?
We can write one now after the show. Give us a quick 10 minutes.
On the tube home.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Mm. How about Elle? Let's have a little chat the week coming up. We've only got a couple of minutes left of the show. You got much on? What's going down in Daily Mail Towers?
Do you know what? Nothing much, really. I mean, there's always stuff going
on.
It's the famous
Daily Mail.
Yeah, but I can't give away too much secrets about the Daily Mail. But I will tell you that I booked a holiday to Italy.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
What part?
So we're going to do a little road trip down the south coast. So we're going to fly into Naples. Then we're going to go to Pompeii for a day.
Is that the place that went underwater?
That is the place that had the eruption, the volcanic eruption, and it just got rid of the
town. Well, it's all the body in concrete. What's the one that went underwater? Atlantis.
Right. Okay.
It's not that.
No, it's not that one. It's the volcanic one. So we're going to do a day trip there, and then we'll go down the Amalfi Coast, which will be just lush.
Never been Italy, which is ridiculous, because Italian food, coffee and men, that's my idea of an holiday.
I know. I've never been to Italy either, and I've travelled like most of Europe. I'm like, why have I not been to Italy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it.
I've got to knock Spain on the head.
Yeah. You come with me. Come with me. Let's go.
Yeah. Got room for a gay Bridget in the back of your car down your mouth, because
that's a TV show. There's a TV show in it.
So, guys, thank you for joining us. As always, always an absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next week, Miss L.
Yes, we will indeed, with more some showbiz tea.
It's exciting, isn't it? Because, I mean, we're finally in February now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is exciting, because it felt like it was January for ages.
Oh, stop. I know, it still feels like January, though, because February is just an elongated version of January.
Yeah.
Or a shortened version of January, I mean, but it is just as miserable.
Just waiting for spring. Bring on the summer. Fuck it, you're going to Italy, you don't give a toss. When are you going?
My only conversation.
Have you put your holiday dates in?
Oh, not yet. If you're listening, guys, the start of June.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so hopefully there'll be no problems with those days.
And what's the latest in terms of any exclusive coming forward? Because obviously, you know, at the moment, there's the whole Invictus Games and stuff. Oh, and it's not going to be long until we see the Meghan Markle show drop on Netflix. Have you had any... I mean, I'm sure you can't spill too much to what's going on in Daily Mail, but is there any exclusives? Have you seen clips?
I haven't really. They're getting a good reception from the Invictus Games stuff. So that's nice to see.
She's very active on the Instagram, isn't she?
She's doing so... Do you know what? I love that she's come back on Instagram because it gives us a little insight into the non-polished life. And that's what people were complaining about. The Netflix series, it looked too polished.
Because she waited years to get back onto the Insta, didn't she?
She was getting slated for bloody blowing her nose. So
I guess she probably thought bollocks.
Oh, and I actually wouldn't have social media if I were, because you'd be overthinking every bloody move that you did. But now we're seeing kind of behind the scenes stuff from the Invictus Games. Yeah. And I think it's good because we're seeing a more neutral
a clip of them on like a golf buggy I saw.
Yes. Yeah, so that got a bit of hate for some reason. They had to go from one end of the arena to another, but they drove past Invictus Games participants who are veterans. Some of them were in wheelchairs and they were waving at them, and it didn't go down well online. But I mean, every celebrity gets a golf cart to get from one end of an arena to another. We don't know why they were doing it and why they had to be there quick. And if they were to walk, meeting thousands of people, they may as well just cancel the games and say, this is a meet and greet, guys, because we're going to be here for hours.
Oh, well, more on that next week. Guys, as always, always an absolute pleasure to be in the studio and spending our Wednesday evenings with you. Me and Miss Elgale will be back next Wednesday, 6 p.m. for Access All Areas, and we'll be live on Food Bar Radio. Have an amazing week. Take care and be safe. Ta-da.
Bye.